Prakshit cursed by Sringi Brahmana, the son of Shamika Rishi, and the Avirbhava of Shukadeva Goswami, taken from Canto 1 and 2. All the sages gathered at Namisharanya, and they blessed Suta Goswami, whom they were asking questions of. May you live for many years and have eternal fame, for you're speaking wonderfully about Krishna. This is nectar for people like ourselves. We just began this yajna, unsure of its results, due to many imperfections in our actions. Although our bodies have become black from the smoke of the fire, because the wind was blowing in the wrong direction, we have been so pleased by the nectar that you are distributing, the nectar from the feet of Govinda, Govinda Charanamritam. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions, material prosperity, which are meant for mere mortals. First Canto, chapter 18, verse 13. Tulayama lavenapi na swargam na punarbhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimutashisha. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of Lord Sri Krishna cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are meant for those who are meant for death. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya, the association with the Bhagavat Bhakta. So the sages gathered in Namisharanya were glorifying Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami humbly replied to them, although born in a mixed caste, we have been promoted in birthright simply by serving and following the great souls who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great personalities, one can immediately cleanse himself of all disqualifications resulting from a lower birth. O rishis, as birds fly in the sky as far as their capacity allows, so I shall try to describe the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna as far as my realization permits. Once, while chasing a deer in the forest, Maharaj Pariksit became very tired, hungry, and thirsty. He began to search for water. He came to Shamaka Rishi's ashram, a descendant of Angira. He saw the sage silently meditating there. He was in samadhi, wearing a deer skin, long matted hair. Maharaj Pariksit asked for some water to parch his thirst. Actually, a pure devotee like Maharaj Pariksit never becomes overly disturbed by bodily demands like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. This was all an arrangement of the Lord to create a situation where Pariksit would give up family life and hear the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. Since Shamaka was locked in meditation, he did not receive the king properly, offer him a seat, water, or sweet words, which are the minimal offerings to a guest, an asan, pani asan madhura vacha. Maharaj Pariksit became very angry at being neglected. course, he didn't expect a royal reception, but at least a straw mat and words of welcome and some water to drink. After all, he was the king. It was an astonishingly cold reception. But equally astonishing was that pure devotee would become angry at a great rishi. This was all ordained by Sri Krishna. In great anger, Parikshit left that cottage and he saw a dead snake, took the end of his bow and placed it as a garland, as an insult around Shamak Rishi's neck. It was also surprising that Maharaj Parikshit should think of childishly rewarding the Rishi with such a cold, dead snake. The king repented his bad behavior and was thinking, was the Rishi actually in Samadhi? Or was he only pretending so he could avoid receiving one of a lower caste? Sringi, the younger son of Shamaka Rishi, was a powerful Brahmin due to possessing Brahma Tejas. He heard about the insult of his father by the king. He became enraged and cursed. Just see how this ruler, who is like a crow, to receive the remnants of one's food, or a watchdog that guards the door, has turned against his master. On what grounds can a dog enter the cottage and claim to dine with the householder on the same plate? After Krishna's departure, these upstarts have begun to flourish. Just witness my power as I punish the wrongdoer. His eyes red with rage, Sringi touched water from the river Koshika and then cursed Parikshit. On the seventh day from today, the snake bird Tarkshaka will bite this most wretched descendant of his dynasty because he has broken the rules of etiquette by insulting my father. While seeking a way to enter the society, the personality of Kali found a way in this puffed up Brahmana boy. Hatred of the lower orders of society, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, etc., by the Brahmins, due to the influence of Kali, began with Sringi. And the first victim of Brahminical injustice was Maharaj Parikshit. Crying out loud to relieve his burning heart, Shamaka gradually came out of his samadhi and saw the dead snake hung around his shoulders. Casting the snake aside, Shamaka said, "My dear son, why are you crying? Has anyone harmed you?" When Shamaka Rishi heard that his son Sringi had cursed King Parikshit, he became mortified and said, "Oh, what a great sinful act has been performed by my son. He has given a heavy punishment for an insignificant offense. You're an immature boy, you don't understand that the king is the foremost of human beings, the very representative of God. It is only due to his protection that the citizens can live peacefully and prosperously. If the world becomes devoid of a good king, then rogues and thieves will vanquish the unprotected subjects, as a lion easily kills scattered lambs. By destroying monarchical regimes, we will become responsible for great social disruptions. The whole system of Varnashram Dharma will become neglected, reducing the general population to the level of dogs and monkeys. Emperor Pariksha is a first-class devotee of Krishna, a saint among kings. He never deserves to be cursed. Oh, my son, I pray to Krishna that he may pardon you or cursing a sinless person." Shamaka Rishi knew that even though devotees are tolerant, never take revenge, even when cursed or cheated, defamed, neglected, or disturbed. Nevertheless, Sri Krishna never excuses such offenders to his devotees. This pastime is all arranged by the Lord. Neither Shamika Rishi, his son Sringi, or Prikshit were responsible. They are merely instruments in the will of the Lord. Still, Shamika Rishi thought, if King Prikshit counter-curses my son, the boy might get relief from his sinful reaction. But the saintly Prikshit won't do so. My only hope is to appeal to Sri Krishna that this offense was done by an innocent child. Prikshit was, as he returned home, he was more disturbed by his uncivilized behavior toward the Rishi. King Prikshit thought, due to my sinfulness, I must certainly expect some great difficulty to overcome me in the near future. Indeed, I hope that such a calamity comes immediately so I can atone for my wretchedness and never again commit such an offense. Since I am most uncivilized for having neglected Brahminical culture, let my kingdom, power, and opulence be burnt immediately in the fire of the Brahmana's wrath. In this way, I will be taught to give up such an envious and inauspicious mentality. Because one's personal conduct affects family members as well, Maharaj Prikshit wanted a disaster to quickly befall him, so that by personally suffering a reaction, future generations would not be affected. As he was repenting like this, news of his imminent death due to Sringi's curse reached Maharaj Prikshit. Shamika Rishi had sent a messenger to inform the king of the irrevocable curse so that he might properly prepare himself for going back home, back to Godhead. Maharaj Prikshit could have gone to Shamika and begged for forgiveness. But since the Rishi's message had been conveyed with so much regret, the king did not want to embarrass him further by his presence. Instead of counteracting the curse, Prikshit took it as a good opportunity to become indifferent to all material things. Keeping this in mind, he handed over the kingdom to his son and sat down tightly on the bank of the Yamuna to give up his life by fasting while concentrating his mind upon the lotus feet of Krishna. News spread quickly throughout the universe, and on the plea of making a pilgrim's journey, all the great rishis came there with their disciples, knowing beforehand that the Srimad Bhagavatam would be spoken there by Shukadeva Goswami. Very soon, Maharaj Prikshit became surrounded by the greatest sages of the universe, including Narada Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, Bhrigu Muni, Vashishtha Muni, Parashara Muni, Atri, Vishwamrita, Angira, Parashuram, Bharadwaj, Gautama, Chavana, Sharadvan, Uttatya, Maitreya, Aurava, and numerous other great rishis and kings. Prikshit received everyone properly and bowed his head in hopes of being excused of all his offenses before departing from this mortal world. After all had been comfortably seated, Maharaj Prikshit stood before the assembled sages with folded hands and said, the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, has kindly overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's curse. Sri Krishna has done this out of his causeless mercy, for I had become too attached to family life and royal opulence. O Brahmanas, please accept me as a completely surrendered soul. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let Takshaka bite me at once, if it is so ordained. For my only desire is that you will continue speaking about the glories of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. I offer my obeisances unto all of you, and pray that if I have to be born again within this material world, my attachment for Lord Krishna will remain intact, and I may have the association of devotees. I have come here to sit down and fast until death, and so I beg you to instruct me for my highest welfare. After saying this, Parikshit sat down and faced north on the southern bank of the Ganga, upon a mat of kusha grass with its roots turned toward the east. The demigods beat drums and showered flowers to show their satisfaction with King Parikshit's determination. The rishis assembled there also praised Parikshit Maharaj, saying, O King, it is not astonishing that you have renounced your royal position in order to attain the eternal association of Lord Krishna. We shall remain here until you pass away from this mortal body and thus attain the supreme abode of the Lord. Parikshit addressed the sages. O sages, you have kindly assembled here from all over the universe and are naturally inclined to do good to others. Please tell me, what is the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and especially of those who are about to die? Parikshit knew very well that Krishna Bhakti is the eternal duty of everyone. He questioned their sages only to get a unanimous confirmation of this fact, so that he could carry on with his Krishna conscious duties without controversy. As doctors will differently diagnose the same patient, it appears that the great sages put forth various opinions. As they were discussing among themselves, Shukadeva Goswami appeared upon the scene by the will of Krishna. Knowing that his son would leave home immediately after birth, Vyasadeva carefully instructed him in the Srimad Bhagavatam while he was still within the womb. Shukadeva Goswami was free from all desires. Therefore, Vyasadeva chose him to become a recipient of the ripened fruit from the tree of Vedic knowledge, overlooking all his other disciples. When Shukadeva Goswami left home and renounced order of life, even without undergoing various reformatory processes, Srila Vyasadeva followed Shukadeva for some time due to intense feelings of separation. My son! Only the trees echoed Vyasa's words. While passing along the road, Shukadeva went by some beautiful young girls bathing in a lake. They did not bother to cover themselves, although both they and Shukadeva were naked. However, when Vyasadeva came by, the girls quickly covered themselves, even though the ancient sage was dressed. Vyasadeva asked why they did this. The girls explained, "Your son looked at us with samadristi. He did not make any distinction between male and female. or he is transcendental to mundane sexual relationships. You, however, make such a distinction. There is a story in the Brahma Vaivart Purana. Vyasadeva and his wife, the daughter of Javali, performed austerities for many years. And then Vyasadeva gave a child who remained in the mother's womb for 12 years. I will not come out unless I am completely liberated from Maya. Vyasadeva promised that he would be so. But the child in the womb did not have faith in his father's words because he was still attached to his wife and children. Vyasadeva went to Dwarka and told Krishna about his problem. Then Krishna came to the cottage and assured the child in the womb that he would never become influenced by Maya. Now after getting Krishna's assurance, Shukadeva left the womb, and as soon as he came out, he immediately left home to wander as a Paribrajakacharya. Grieving, Vyasadeva followed him. Then Shukadeva created a duplicate self who later became a householder, and his daughter Kritvi married King Nipa of the Bharata line. Shukadeva Goswami was 16 years old, a beautiful body of blackish-blue complexion, beautiful, auspicious physical features resembling Lord Krishna. He had attractive smiles. He was very pleasing to women. He was traveling all over the earth as a naked avadut, uninterested in social conventions. He was surrounded by numerous women and children who followed him out of curiosity. When Shukadeva Goswami arrived at the bank of the Ganga, Maharaj Yudhisthira and all of the rishis, except Narada and Vyas and a few others, rose from their seats to show the boy respect. After seeing this reception of the chief guest, the wonderstruck women and children that were following Shukadeva stopped their frivolous activities, so that the atmosphere became calm and grave. Shukadeva sat and the Vyasasan offered to him. He appeared like a moon surrounded by innumerable stars in that assembly of rishis. Prikshit bowed down to offer respects and stood with folded hands asking, O Brahmana, your presence has sanctified us. Simply by remembering you, one can become instantly purified. What to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat? Your appearance here is certainly a manifestation of Lord Krishna's mercy upon me. You are the spiritual master of the great sages and devotees. So I beg you to explain to us the path of perfection for all persons, and especially those who are about to die. What should a man hear about, chant, remember, and worship? And what should he refrain from doing? Shukadeva replied, My dear King Parikshit, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is a prime subject matter for hearing. Materially engrossed people have many subjects for hearing because they are blind to the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Canto 2, verse 1-3. Nidraya riyate naktam vyavayena chavavaya diva charte haya rajan Kutumba Baranenava. The lifetime of envious materialistic householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. During the day they work hard to earn money, and at night they pass their time in sleep and sexual indulgence. Although the truth is right before their eyes, such materially engrossed persons do not see their inevitable destruction. One who desires to become freed from all material miseries must hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. For the highest perfection of life is to remember Narayan at the end of life. 215. Tasmad Bharata Saravatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyash Chechatabayam. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, I studied the great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, from my father. Even though I was a perfectly liberated soul, a Brahmavati, I became attracted by the transcendental pastimes of Krishna and advanced further on a devotional scale. Because you are a devotee of Lord Krishna, I will now recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. For chanting the holy name and glories of Lord Sri Krishna is the doubtless and fearless means of spiritual success. 2.1.11. Etan nirvidyamananam ichatam akuto bhayam yoginam nripanrinitam harer namanukirtanam. O King Parikshit, constant chanting of the holy name of Lord Sri Krishna, following the ways of the great authorities, is a doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Harinam Anukirtanam. What is the use of a prolonged life devoid of Krishna consciousness? King Katvanga freed himself from the bondage of material life in a moment by taking complete shelter of the Supreme Lord. My dear King Parikshit, you are even more fortunate because you have 7 days, not a few moments like Katvanga. You have 7 days to prepare yourself for death. At the end of life, one must be bold enough to fearlessly cut off all attachment to the material body and all desires that pertain to it. Shukadeva Goswami described to King Parikshit gradual processes of spiritual elevation, beginning by Virata Rup Dhyan, and then Paramatma Dhyan, and then Bhagavan, and serving him in bhakti. Parikshit asked the question, O learned Brahmana, your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness of my ignorance, for you are narrating topics of Krishna. Now I beg you to explain how Sri Krishna engages his personal energies to create these material universes and then winds them up again in the sporting spirit of a player. Sukadeva replied, O King, when Brahma was questioned by his son Narada, Brahma explained this subject as he had previously heard it directly from Krishna. At that time, Narada asked, O Brahma, my dear father, first born among living beings, you know everything past, present, and future, for the entire universe is within your grip like a walnut in your hand. Whatever we see in this material manifestation appears to have come into being by your self-sufficient energies. Yet we are made to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you. Because I see that you yourself are engaged in great austerities and discipline. Upon being questioned by his son Narada, Lord Brahma replied, "My dear boy Narada, I create this cosmic manifestation after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence. Just as when the sun shines, then the moon, planets, and twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. It is only due to ignorance of Lord Krishna that people consider me to be the supreme controller. It is only because of the inspiration I receive from Lord Narayan by which I am able to discover that which is already created by him. In fact, I myself am also a creation of Lord Narayan." Then Brahma went on to answer Narada Muni by explaining the process of creation. And then he concluded by saying, "O Narada, because I have held the lotus feet of Lord Hari with great enthusiasm, whatever I say has never proved to be false. The progress of my mind has never been deterred, nor have my senses ever been degraded by temporary attachment to matter." Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to hear the complete science of God. So he asked Shukadev many questions to express his great eagerness for hearing. Pariksha declared, "O learned Brahman, because of my drinking the nectar of Achyutakata flowing from the ocean of your speeches, I do not feel any thirst or hunger from my fasting." Shukadeva Goswami was also very enlivened by Parikshit's questions and sincere desire to know the truth. Thus, Shukadeva informed King Parikshit that the science of God was first spoken by the Lord himself to Brahma at the beginning of creation.